kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I survived my first week of homeschooling.
Ooh, did you? How'd it go?
I only cried like 8 times, so it went swimmingly. It's very stressful to always be on and know that there's like constant access to you via camera throughout the day. That fucking cricket, though. Put your dick away so the cricket will go away. Fuck.
No. The fucking cricket coming in shut the fuck up. I'm ending this conversation. Oh my god. Like,
the cricket's like now my best friend, and he's just like, oh god, I hate Cole. I'm just going to start talking whenever she does.
Cricket's like, introduce Jacob.
Oh, you're going to name the cricket Carnage?
Carnage the cricket.
I like it.
Oh my, so yeah, Jacob's here.
Hey guys.
I'm sorry, Cole, how's the homeschooling thing going? The timing on that cricket was incredible.
No, it's just that there's always a camera on in the house, and you have to always be accessible to the teachers and their whims, and it's a lot more exhausting than you would think it would be. But like, you just constantly waiting for the pop-up, and you're like, wait, did I sweep the floor? Did I put the dogs away? Or, you know, because they can't have any distractions. And yeah. I don't know if you're aware of this, but my house is plumb fucking full of distractions. I have dogs and cats and rabbits. And, like, we have to move the rabbit from his spot. Because if 17 7-year-olds can see a rabbit in the background of a kid's camera, they're not fucking paying attention to the teacher.
No, not at all.
And I'm like,
both of them to assume that they're paying attention to the teacher to begin with.
Look, that's rough on its own. And then it's right. Just like the moment that notification pops up, I have to stop everything and go, okay, where's the rabbit? Where's the cats? Where's the dogs? Where's the kid that has to sit in front of the camera? Then all of a sudden she's going to come out and she's been eating powdered donuts and it looks like she's got crack all over her face. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, now what? And then you're late for class because you got to go make her go wash her face.
And you realize the camera was on the whole time and you just said, Jesus fucking Christ to the whole.
The camera was on the whole time anyway. And then you're just like,
you heard me, you sons of bitches. Adult time now. Time to learn about the real world.
It's so stressful, though. And it's just like, and I have to watch my mouth in my own home. And I've never censored myself around my kids because I think the rest of the fucking world ain't going to censor themselves either. So why should I? Which I also taught them that, you know, there's only certain words that are bad words and fuck ain't it. There are more issues with other words than fuck.
Yeah. And there's some other shitty words out there.
Yeah. And so like
Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob.
Volkswagen. Volkswagen.
Moist.
But I don't.
Hitlerific.
Now we're demonetized. We weren't monetized, but we're definitely demonetized now. But, you know, I don't censor them. But when there's a mic in the house and the teacher is the one with control to mute or unmute, it was like, fuck. At 3:10 every day, everybody's done, and I just sit down in my chair and go, God damn it!
See, Cole, you got to get them all out of your breakfast cereal in the morning.
See, I don't eat breakfast in the morning. That's half my problem right there.
You eat it at night?
I don't typically like eat until 3 or 4 hours after I wake up. And that's the other thing, too. Like, even down to when we can have lunch is controlled by the school schedule right now. Like, number one, she got lucky. She's able to do the virtual schooling and it's all independent and she controls herself. She has her own schedule. As long as she turns in a certain amount of work before the end of the semester, she's done. And it doesn't matter if she turns it in at 11 p.m. on Sunday night or if she does it at 7 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Doesn't fucking matter. But number two and number three, they have a set schedule where, at least for number two, I was able to get it modified because she has an IEP. And she's, like, she can just sign in and, like, wave to the teacher and say, I'm here, but I'm turning the camera off. And she can do her work after that. Because she has really bad social anxiety, among a few other issues. But with number three, she's right here beside me at the other computer from 9:30 in the morning until 3:10 in the afternoon. Every fucking day.
Damn.
And I had come to really appreciate this alone time that I had with kids being in school all day. I mean, number one got up at 5 and got on the bus at 6. Ew. Number two and number three got up at 6:30 and got on the bus at 7:30. And then nobody got home until 5 p.m. And so all that time, usually Deed be in and out for work or whatever, but for the most part, it was just me. Here, on my ass.
Yeah.
And I really came to appreciate that. And that's how I fit in time for games. That's how I had time for artwork. That's how I grew my, you know, business, running my store. And now it's like, I can't sit here and work on a game because you can see my computer from hers. And I can't sit here and work on artwork because I draw dicks. And you can see my computer from hers.
And turn the screen.
I do have my monitor on an arm, and I move it and rotate it. But, I mean, that's not always the most viable option at the same time, because sometimes I need to be able to use both of my monitors.
Yeah, for the really long dick pictures.
Yeah.
The dual screeners.
Got to make sometimes. Sure that you get all the details on those veins.
Yeah. As Lightspeed would say, double veined up on a Tuesday.
Hi, Heaven Smile. How are you doing tonight? Oh, my God. Jacob, how are you doing?
Well, school was supposed to start today on Wednesday for Sam. And, like, pretty much we had gotten his materials, quote unquote, the week before, and they were like, all right, here's an iPad.
What?
Oh. Okay. So do we get any, like, books or anything? Oh, no. It's all on the iPad. He's in first grade. Like, there's no books. There's no, like, worksheets. Like, how is he supposed to practice, like, handwriting or do music or do art? Oh, well, Seesaw. You know, music is, like, I guess they dumbed it down or something. And art is going to be supplies that are around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And music is just learning how to make TikTok videos now.
And, yeah. And it's just like, we are not pleased by this. And I asked one of my buddies from college, because he's got 4 daughters, God bless him. And, like, he had a picture up on Facebook of all the kids sitting around the kitchen table working on their stuff. And I was just like, dude, did your school district, like, hand out anything? And he was like, well, because we figured that, like, this thing wasn't going to be over by the fall. We signed our kids up for virtual schooling back in, like, April, early May. Mm-hmm. And so they were given, like, these brand spanking new Chromebooks. Like, and essentially the school district was, like, first come, first serve on everything. And it's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, yeah, no, we weren't given anything.
I'll tell you what our system said too. They ordered $400,000 worth of Chromebooks, and they have not gotten a single one because there is a nationwide shortage of Chromebooks.
Well, that's actually what he was saying, because his daughter, who's in first grade, she didn't get anything right now. And so right now she's working off of, like, his old work laptop, which was just fine. And he was just like, it's a good thing that it does, because otherwise we were just going to go off and buy her, like, a laptop. And it's just, the whole damn thing is just messed up. And we initially weren't getting any of the emails from the school district except for this video that was like, here's the YouTube link for an introduction to all of like the in-person teachers. One for virtual teachers will come later. And it's like, what? Meanwhile, my wife has received all of the emails with like the logins and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't received shit.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, everything yeah, has been sent so, to for number one's virtual stuff. They've just been emailing it straight to her and completely bypassing me. And I'm like, hello?
Yeah.
I'd like to check her. I mean, I trust her, but I'd like to check her progress.
Well, it's just like I'm in charge of the kids like Thursday and Fridays because that's when I have off from work. And so, like, originally I was going to get – I told Sam, like, well, you better get a good night of sleep tonight because – like, yeah, today, his first day of school was Wednesday, and I was just like, yeah, man, it's a wash, whatever. And so Thursday, I was like, buddy, you better get a good night of sleep because, you know, we're going to start up school tomorrow. He's like, okay. So, like, 9 a.m. rolls around, and I realize I don't have any of his friggin' logins. And I'm just like, cool. So my kid hasn't done any of his schoolwork. And then on top of it, the emails that we have received from the school district are like, oh, the children will not have much interaction with their teacher except for like their quarterly evaluations and stuff like that. Although the teacher might check in with the kids, you know, like every other day or something like that. And that's like a maybe.
Wow.
The fuck's the point of a teacher then?
Yeah. And it's just like, what are we supposed to like? And they're pretty much like, oh yeah, the kid can essentially learn at their own pace. So don't force the kids to do like, you know, a ton of work all at once and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, what? So, like, there's no lesson plans. There's no nothing with it, as far as I know. And so Sam has missed, like, his first 3 days of school, quote unquote.
See, here we'd already have the truancy officer after us. I'll even tell you, where number one was signed up for the virtual school, but in order to still have her count as a student at the high school, so that if shit goes back to normal by some crazy chance and she gets to go to prom this year, because she's a junior, she wanted that option, you know, to be able to go to prom. And so in order to do that, they had to enroll her in the normal school. So she goes for her book pickup. They give her a schedule and her Chromebook and a graphing calculator, which I specifically told them we didn't need because we already had one because she's a nerd. And an algebra book for a class that she wasn't going to take. Yeah. And then they turned around and said that schedule was not her virtual school schedule. It was the one that they had to give her in order to consider her enrolled. And then she started getting notifications on her phone all day long on Wednesday and Thursday. You missed your class. F. You missed your class. F. You were absent. F. You were absent.
Oh,
you were
marked
missing. And she was like,
guys,
she's like,
guys.
The counselor had specifically emailed her after she emailed him like 7 times. Please, for the love of God, tell me I'm not going to be marked absent, that this is, I'm not going to get F's, this isn't going to mess me up. Because she's in a program called Upward Bound, and if her grades suffer, she gets removed. And she was just like absolutely panicking, and then the guidance counselor was like, no, you won't be counted absent, it'll be fine. And then all day long notifications were just rolling, you're absent, you're tardy, F, you're missing. Fuck. Leave the kid alone. And it's we're still trying to get some of those removed, and that's been 3 days.
Jeez.
And she doesn't even officially start. We just got her login and her schedule today, and it is this fucked up. This child signed up for intro to computers. She signed up for culinary classes, and she signed up for Spanish. Do you know what she got? Psychology, sociology, and multicultural studies.
Super all very close.
All very fine things to study, but not in her wheelhouse.
Oh, God.
And she was just like, what am I supposed to do with this? And then one of her best friends, who's actually in the town close to us, she had signed up for the virtual too. They had her in U.S. history after the Civil War, not once, not twice, but 4 times they had put her in the same class. So out of her 7 classes, 4 of them was U.S. history after the Civil War. It is the number one teacher that is supposed to monitor her in independent study is the football coach. And he's called today and he goes, so I didn't know I was doing this until 2 days ago. School started 3 days ago.
Wow.
Nice.
I was just like, holy shit.
They have their shit together.
You're more disorganized than we are. So they said that it could literally take, they're not doing semesters this year. They're doing quarters. And they said it could literally take until the first quarter is over to get the schedule straightened out. And I was like, what are they supposed to do if they've got the same class four times? I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know.
Anyway,
video games.
Yeah, video games. A lot of news this week. We have a lot to talk about. PS Plus and Games with Gold for September were announced. And woohoo, what a month.
Wee! Do you think it's this time for these programs to die?
Yeah, I don't know. PS Plus has been having good months. But
I like free games.
Yeah, free games are fun. It's just Xbox, I don't know what's going on with their lineup. It has been just abysmal lately. I know all their money's going into Game Pass, but, you know, Games with Gold, they have to throw us a bone here or there. Games with Gold lineup, Xbox One for the whole month of September gets The Division 1.
See, I don't think that that's that bad. The Division 1 is a solid game, and a lot of people skipped out on it.
It is, but how old is that game?
5 years, I think.
Yeah. And there's a sequel out.
Nobody complained when they gave us 5 and 6 year old Assassin's Creed games.
Actually, I did because I don't really like the Assassin's
Creed. That's because you're garbage pants, but you don't count.
Dang.
But everybody else was like, fuck yeah, Assassin's Creed. And now it's Division. They're like, but it's old. Still a good game.
Well, you're a Division fangirl, so.
It's true. Yeah.
Of course, you're going to defend the Division.
If I had 3,000 hours in the games, everybody else can be grateful they got it for free.
All right. September 16th through October 15th, The Book of Unwritten Tales 2.
How no old is this one?
Is that an Xbox 360 game?
No, it's Xbox. Well, it is on Xbox 360 as well, but this is the Xbox One version.
I don't even know what that game is.
It's a solid point-and-click adventure puzzle game. It's just old. Like, super, super duper old. I don't know. I'm super underwhelmed with the Xbox One picks.
Maybe they're just digging back into, like, you know, the back catalog to, like, give people solid games that, you know, they probably missed and forgot about.
Maybe. Xbox 360, September 1st through the 15th, De Blob 2, good game, but there's a current remaster for it.
That is true.
Hey, all right. First off, Joe, how many times have you rebought games for that or, like, went off and got the 360 one so you could then get the achievements for both games?
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
There. All right.
September 16th through the 30th.
Simmer down.
Listen, boy. September 16th through the 30th, Armed and Dangerous for the original Xbox. I'm actually excited. I don't own this one. So, hey, cool.
That's a LucasArts title, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the one with, like, the shark gun or whatever it is, isn't it?
I don't remember.
I think.
There's a lot of old LucasArts games.
That is like 2002, 2003, I think. Dang. Oh, God, I feel old. Oh, shit.
That's because we are old.
Oh, no. Damn it, Joe.
Yeah. PlayStation Plus fares a little bit better, but it's still not a super great lineup. PUBG?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that game's really in the spotlight that much anymore, but hey, maybe this will give it a whole new life. And then Street Fighter V, which that's a pretty good one. I don't own that one.
That's solid.
It is an older title, but they do keep it fresh and updated, and I think they just started a new season, so that's a good time to get that one out there. So I think PlayStation definitely wins that month.
Yeah.
No, I'm Team Division.
You're Team Division. Shocking. Very shocking. Current rumors state that Microsoft is looking at dropping the Xbox One version of Halo Infinite due to performance issues, Word states that it doesn't even hit 900p and has serious asset loading issues, allegedly. There is also chance that the game might get delayed into 2022. One Halo community manager refuted those rumors and said there's no plans to change the release or platforms. But the fact that the rumors came out there, it leads to believe that there's trouble going on in Halo land.
I mean, Halo's going to be an intensive game. Mm-hmm. That's just the long and short of it. But I'm not sure I buy that they're gonna drop it from the Xbox One. Without greatly delaying it. Like, if it's still in that window of when they're doing smart delivery, they're pushing the full compatibility so hard that I don't think they would release it in that window and only have it on the Series X.
Jacob, what were you going to say?
If they push it back far enough, I think they would. Like, I mean, if they're going to push it back all the way to 2022, yeah, I think they would just straight up cancel the Xbox One version.
Yeah, if it goes that far back, I could see it happening. But if it still comes out in 21, I don't see them dropping the Xbox One version. But I guess it all comes down to what happens next year.
If anything, like, I figure you just get like a D-make, you know? All right, not that far back of a D-make. Like
2D version, pixel art.
An 8-bit version.
Sprite-based.
No, but like, I honestly think
soundtrack.
I think it would definitely be dumbed down compared to whatever comes out on the Xbox Series X. So,
yeah.
But I really think it all depends on release date.
Some other news, Ubisoft UK announced the upcoming collector's editions for the Xbox One again, this is for the UK, will no longer include a physical disc, but will instead come with a redeem code for the game. PS4 gamers will still get a physical disc, and this does not apply to North American buyers. Personally, I'm kind of bummed I'm getting the Assassin's Creed Collector's Edition, and I would have been fine getting a steelbook with a code
for
the game. I would have been happy with that.
Well, then what the hell is the point? If you don't have a disc to put a steelbook in, then...
Dude, I have a whole shelf full of steelbooks.
The only discs that I have that aren't inside their steelbook is Mass Effect 3, and that's just because the steelbook like plastic holders were so shitty. Like, along with the ending.
I have an entire shelf behind me filled with empty steelbooks from games that I have gone digital on.
I mean, I get it, but I don't know. That just seems like a waste to me.
Well, I'm getting a statue with it, too. So it's not like it's just a steel book and a code.
Right.
I'm personally fine with getting just a steel book and a code for the game. Like, I don't mind not getting a disc. I actually would have preferred getting just a code for it. I mean, in the past, I've had issues with Ubisoft where their shipments were delayed and they had to give me a code anyway because the shipment was so delayed that, you know, people were pissed off they couldn't play the game they spent hundreds of dollars for on release date.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I mean, the last Ubisoft limited edition I paid for was probably something on the 360, and it was probably like that Splinter Cell that had the faulty USB credit card thing, which, again, damn, I feel old after having said that.
Yeah, we are old.
Oh, God.
Speak for yourselves, I'm a spring chicken.
Reminding us how old we are, Crysis Remastered will be releasing September 18th on Xbox One, PS4, and Epic Game Store for $29.99. So, Xbox One, it will run Crysis.
Yay! I still haven't played any of them.
Well, now you'll have your chance on September 18th.
No, I own like the trilogy for Xbox 360.
Oh, well, now you have the opportunity right now in the comfort of your own home.
Except I'm doing my hostess club in Yakuza 2. Which, by the way, I won my third league today. Very important.
Oh, geez. Carnage says the only remaster I truly want is coming next week. Tony Hawk, baby.
Oh, shit. That's next week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Are you going to have to put that Yakuza down to play that?
Unless you're giving me a review copy. I mean, no, but I mean, I do kind of need to get it. Because, yeah, I mean, there is that punch card for Microsoft Awards.
Yeah, get your 4,000 bonus points.
Which is honestly pretty high for one of those kind of games, compared to some of the other games that like are $60. But
I mean, it's like a 10% rebate. It's a $40 game.
I'm already halfway to another $25.
Nice. So, I'm sitting at like 60,000 points right now. And then Carnage is at like a few hundred thousand, I think.
Why don't you just redeem them?
I do when I get them. I've just been saving up lately because I haven't needed to redeem them. Like, when I run out of Xbox credit, I will redeem it to get more Xbox credit.
Wait, how much Xbox credit do you have?
Right now, I have like $90 I'm sitting on.
Jeez. That is insane.
I traded some stuff into GameStop and just bought Xbox credit.
Yeah, that's fair, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hi.
Is that a kitty?
Yeah.
Kitty.
Hi buddy.
Nicole's playing with a cat. What the hell are you doing?
Jacob's playing with a cricket.
No, I'm not playing with Carnage the cricket. He went silent, so I'm hoping he didn't get like eaten by a bat or something.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing, Jacob? You're like, you've gotten really quiet. It sounds like you're far away from the phone.
Oh, I turned on speaker so I could pour a drink.
You dick.
I'm back.
Yakuza Like a Dragon got a November 13th release date for Xbox One, PS4, Windows 10, and Steam with the confirmation that it'll be on Series X on day one and on PS5, quote, at a later date.
It's now the 13th? Because I believe digitally it's available on the 12th.
Possible unlocks like early on the 12th, but officially it's the 13th.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wait, what was it?
Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Turn-based RPG, which may finally be the thing that gets me into turn-based RPGs.
We'll find out.
Which Eternal Sonata kind of failed at. And so did Final Fantasy 13.
Eternal Sonata was so good.
Final Fantasy 13 wasn't.
No?
I liked what I played of Eternal Sonata, but I hated the grinding in it.
Eternal Sonata is 900% the kind of game that I would never play, and yet I played it till my fingers fell off. I fucking loved it.
Really?
I couldn't put my finger on why, but I was just I adored it.
It was such an out there RPG.
Yeah, like, I think the whole concept of it was just so odd that I couldn't help but just become enthralled by it.
And then Final Fantasy 13, like, I enjoyed what I was playing of it, but then other shit came out, and I just never picked it back up again. And I own the whole trilogy now, and I look forward to playing it when I'm, like, 65 years old and the kids are out of the house, hopefully. you know, as we play on the Xbox, you know, 50,000 or something, whatever it's called.
It'll still be called, like, the Xbox One X.
Yeah, DX, Xbox One X.
Re-X. Something like that. I don't know. Frogwares has had The Sinking City removed from sale from all digital storefronts due to a legal battle with the publisher Big Ben Interactive / Nacon. Bottom line, Nacon was being shitty and not paying.
Shocking.
Yeah, so looks like...
They're not the only one to say that about them either. No. I forget which other one was it. However, I think it's still available on Switch because I think Frogwares self-published it, if I remember correctly.
Maybe.
And then you can still buy it through Frogwares. They say it's DMR free. However, you have to use the Frogwares launcher for it, which has some gamers in a tizzy about it, which I'm just like, okay, I don't, whatever.
Okay, you said DMR. You've been playing too much Halo.
Oh, yeah, DRM. Whatever. Anyway, whatever. I haven't had that much sleep today.
Nice.
But yeah, it's Switch, their own website, and there's one other platform, and I forget what it is that you can still get. Oh, or, you know, for all five people that use Origin.
Mm. All right. Well, Activision announced that only PS4 owners are going to be eligible for a cross-generation upgrade for Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War. Xbox One disc version cannot be upgraded to the Series X, but a cross-generation bundle can be purchased for $10 more at $69.99. Cole, what do you think of this?
I'm not surprised that they did it this way. And I want to be a little pissed given how Xbox is like, Spark delivery, and really trying to push everybody into it, but then PlayStation's not. So given that Activision is like butt buddies with PlayStation, I expected it, you know? But at the same time,
butt buddies in forever.
at the same time, yeah, they sit butt to butt and just wiggle together and make static.
I don't think that's what the term means, Cole.
It's what it means now. But
it's been a few years since I was in middle school, but I'm pretty sure that's not how the term is actually used.
Anyway.
At the same time, at least they're giving the cross-generational option, because I remember when we went from 360 to the One, like by the time I paid for the One, I could only afford to buy one game. And the game that Studa and I were both actively playing on the 360 was Advanced Warfare. So then I had to turn around and drop another $60 on Advanced Warfare for the One so that we could keep playing our, at the time, favorite game. And if you're just going to tell me I can pay 10 extra bucks and do that this time instead of dropping another 60, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'll roll with it.
The thing is, you can't just upgrade. You have to buy that special bundle.
But I mean, it's not like they're hiding it. They've said it up front.
It's shitty, though, that the PS4 gamers, their PS4 disc will work and give you a PS5 upgrade.
Yeah.
But the Xbox One, your disc will not give you an Xbox Series X upgrade. It's
but
just
what if you buy it digitally?
The disc doesn't.
I think it's just disc.
Okay, so buy it digitally.
On the PlayStation, the disc does upgrade, and on the Xbox, it does not. Is that? I hadn't heard that. Really?
Yeah.
No, that's horrible. All right,
so just buy it digitally.
I buy shit digitally anyway, but that's. I mean, if you buy physical and you don't know, because I hadn't heard that one. I didn't know that bit. Jacob talked too much. I missed it when you said it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Kitty Cat. but I didn't know that they were doing. That's garbage. No, that's not acceptable. That's some Activision bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised by it again, but that's garbage. And that's that whole rubbing their butt and making static thing, but.
Yeah, I don't know how it applies digital, but the FAQ on the site very explicitly mentioned that Xbox One discs will not be eligible for a Series X upgrade.
Ugh.
Joe, can I make a request?
What?
Can this episode's title be Rubbing Butts and Making Static?
That's a long title name.
It can just be Rubbing Butts.
Compared to other titles, I know that that's not the longest title ever. Rubbing Butts and Making Static has a nice ring to it.
Fall Guys has sold over 7 million copies on Steam so far, and it's already the most downloaded PlayStation Plus game of all time. I think it's safe to say Fall Guys took off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they already announced Season 2 as well.
Yep.
Yeah. With new courses and stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
And costumes, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Fall Guys, it's taken off. The big thing is, can it retain its momentum?
See, so that's what I worry about.
Take a fall, guys.
I'm hanging up now.
I win.
But, Carnage City hopes they're bringing it to Xbox. I think they will.
I think it's probably under a contract with Sony for so long. It's probably not their choice right now.
Yeah. I bought it. I bought it on Steam. But I don't know. I hope that it maintains its popularity, you always want to see these indies. Like, Fall Guys is everything we holler. It's something different. It's something unique. It breaks its genre mold, which I bitch about all the time. And it gives you something different. It's bright. It's colorful. It's not one of those. It's not a gritty ass shooter. It's everybody friendly. It's just, I worry about it having that flavor of the month appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of falling off when the next game comes along. And that'd be a
more fall jokes.
Yeah, that wasn't intentional.
Bullshit.
I don't do puns. I have a good sense of humor.
Root Beer says data miners found switch code in the game, so that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't see it being far off on other consoles. It's just when Sony lets it.
Yeah, my guess was 3 to 6 months.
We shall see in due time. Another game coming, Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 was announced and will be coming to PS4, PS5, Switch, Steam, and thankfully Xbox One and Series X this time.
Yeah.
It's planned for a December 8th release on all platforms except the PS5, which is just a vague holiday 2020 release, and Steam, which is early 2021.
Okay.
I'm excited. Bring on more Puyo. More Puyo,
not,
more Tetris.
I'm not mad about it.
It's weird
when
to see.
When I saw
see.
It was going
to
be on Xbox, I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh, I know. I was so happy. I have my import copy of Puyo Tetris 1, and they never localized it for Xbox in America, which pissed me off. I have the game. I just can't play it in English.
Damn.
Yeah. Like the fucking Kunio-kun Retro Brawler package that they localized for PS4 and Switch, but not Xbox. Sons of bitches. I'm bitter.
Yeah, I would be too.
Little Nightmares 2 was announced for a February 11th release on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC. Later in 2021 for Series X and PS5 with a free next-gen upgrade on Xbox and PlayStation. All you excited for Little Nightmares 2?
I call dibs.
Too early, but you get first shot anyway.
I don't fucking care. I love Little Nightmares. I'm so excited. I've been watching. Every now and then they put out a new little screenshot on either Facebook or Twitter, and I'm like, yes, feed me all the gory grossness. Gimme. Number One and I are super excited. Cannot wait. And it's just a couple days after my birthday, so it'll be a nice little birthday present for me.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Jacob, any thoughts?
He's not allowed to have thoughts. It's Little Nightmares.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. So.
You haven't heard of Little Nightmares? Are you serious?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I haven't heard of it. I don't know what it is.
Itch needs to get learned. Last bit of news I have is we had a surprise Game Pass launch this week.
We did.
We did, and it's motherfucking Drake Hollow. How excited are you, Cole? I know you've been waiting for that one for so long. It's finally here. It's finally on Game Pass. What do you think?
I was so heartbroken when it got delayed last month. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to see this before 2021. And because they were just like, it's delayed indefinitely. And I'm like, holy fuck. That's a bad word in game dev. And I was so upset. I was like, oh my God, we're not going to see it for fucking ever. Something got turned up during the beta and they're just going to have to crunch for 8 months to get rid of it. So I was nervous. And then 2 days ago, they were like, hey, there's going to be a segment of the Gamescom that's about Drake Hollow. It'll be an announcement trailer. And I was like, cool. They're going to announce a new release date. And then I was watching it today, just kind of like, I had it minimized in the corner because I wasn't fucking missing Drake Hollow. And I was trying to do school shit with numbers 3, and I had my headphones on, and it was like, ready now, and I was like, ah! And like trying not to scream while she's on the mic, and I'm like, and I went and downloaded it immediately. It is only available on Xbox right now, because the PC version needed a little more tweaking, and they expect to have it out in a couple of weeks. And then it will also be on PC Game Pass as well.
Nifty.
But fucking play Drake Hollow. I enjoy it so much.
Your kitty is so attention starved.
Yeah. I absolutely adored my time with the beta with it. I played entirely too much of it. I cannot
fucking
wait.
Yeah.
I was so sad when I installed it and it popped up that Drake Hollow is now ready to play. And I was like, I can't. I got school set for 4 more hours. And then I took a nap because, fuck, I haven't slept all week. And so I took a nap and then I woke up right before we do the show. So as soon as we shut the fuck up here, I'm going to go play Drake Hollow. And I'm going to, well, I don't know. I say that, but I had already had plans to play Tell Me Why because I haven't got to play that yet either.
Tell Me Why.
And I'm like, oh, now what am I supposed to do? I don't have enough time. I only have 3 days. Before I have to go back into school hell.
Oh, Lord.
I gotta figure it out. One of them is getting played tonight and the other one's getting played tomorrow.
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
Let the gears coaster decide your fate. Gears coaster.
Oh, man.
All right. That's the news I have. Anyone have anything else they want to talk about?
Well, we're apparently getting more Mortal Kombat 11 characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I posted it to the Facebook page. I don't know if you saw that, Joe.
No, I don't pay attention to our Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Damn it, guys. Where I post all the dank memes.
That's why I ignore that shit.
But yeah, so some guy who did data mining previously on it was doing data mining on the Aftermath stuff. And there are 19 placeholders for DLC characters. Now, I think
19. Some of them are.
Well, the thing is that I think a bunch of them are current characters, like the ones that are already DLC, but which that's still not 19. So there's still more coming, which a lot of people believe that we're finally going to get Melina in the game. But of course, everybody else is a mystery. And apparently some people are rooting for Ash Williams.
Yeah, he's been rumored for a while, and he's shown up in, like, copyright notices and emails for the game, and there's just been so many signs of him showing up, but he hasn't yet, so I don't know what's going on there.
So maybe he will be this time. Maybe. And I think that was all that they had to say about it, because it does, like, the information doesn't actually say anything about the characters themselves, except one of them, which is a character that's already released, and I forget what it exactly was. But yeah, so that's exciting if you like Mortal Kombat.
True. Carnage is saying to bring up the Super Lucky's Tale delisting information. Now that new Super Lucky's Tale is out, they delisted the original Super Lucky's Tale and the DLC. So if had the original game and didn't have the DLC, you're kind of out of luck. Although people have found out that if you buy the new game, it will give you the old game and the DLC as well.
That's what I was about to say. When I redeemed my code for new Super Lucky's Tale, it installed Super Lucky's Tale and the DLC for it as well. Yeah.
So if you buy the new game, it'll give you the old stuff as well. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are pissed off that that you can't buy the DLC for the old version anymore. It's kind of dumb that they take that away, but you can kind of understand that people might buy it for the new game by mistake.
Yeah. They did that with Ori too, didn't they?
Where they pulled it, yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but if you buy the definitive edition, then
you got it both.
Too.
Yep.
Well, that's right. What I did. Somebody gifted me the definitive edition, and I got both of them, and I played the original first so I could get the achievements in it, and then I played the definitive edition.
Rupier's My Jam saying that there's rumors of a new Switch model. I haven't heard those, but I wouldn't be shocked. Nintendo. They're going to have the Switch XL Lite Plus Alpha with
it's coming
3D
out next,
capabilities. Yeah. And
it's supposed to come out next year, the new Switch model.
Did they announce anything?
No, nothing's officially announced, but I don't even remember what the articles had said about it, but it was just like there was some sort of wording that revealed that it is coming next year. I didn't post any articles about it on the Facebook page just because I figured you were going to cover it. So, whoops.
Good stuff. We're both on the ball.
Hey. Honestly, oh, I figured that you found out about Sunken City because of my Facebook post. So, apparently not.
No. I don't care about you that much.
God damn it, Joe. What do I do all this for?
I don't know. What do you do it for? I don't know why you do the Facebook stuff. I told you before I wanted to shut the Facebook stuff down because no one cared about it. You're like, no, the Facebook must live on.
Well, no, you wanted to shut it down because at one point I was like 30 episodes behind. And so I had to do this like, because I forget what the heck was going on in my life at the time. But I ended up doing this like mad rush to get all 30 episodes up. And then I ended up just starting to post memes to it because I can do that while taking a shit on my phone. Like, yeah, I'm taking a shit on my phone.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So it's something I can do while taking a shit that I can do on my phone.
That you can shit on your phone. You can shit directly onto your phone.
Technology is amazing, man. Oh, God. Anyway, so yeah, so like while I'm sitting there on the toilet, I could just be posting memes to the page and stuff like that. And unfortunately, the memes get more likes on our episode postings most of the time.
Yeah.
And
no one likes us.
Yeah. Well, on top of it, the latest version of Facebook has made it so tagging everyone's a complete crapshoot. I can't even tag myself in articles. The only one of us who can get tagged is Chris because he has his own personal Facebook page. Because last update, I wasn't able to tag anyone who wasn't a friend of mine. So Chris got away with it again because he had his own Facebook page, but I wasn't able to tag Tim anymore. And now I just can't tag anybody.
Nice.
And even then, I can't. Not all of the software companies show up, like Vadama. How do you pronounce it? Vadama?
Oh, yeah, Vadama.
Yeah, they couldn't get tagged. Their game did, but they themselves couldn't get tagged. And then it no longer shows how many likes a page has. So hopefully I'm tagging the right pages.
Oh, geez.
Because I used to be able to just compare it, like, you know, oh, well, this has 4,000. Meanwhile, this fake page has 3. You know, so then I'd go to tag it, and I was like, oh, okay, there's the 4,000 page. Great. Now it's just like, here's hoping.
Fun.
Yep.
So, yeah, Cole, should we get to reviews?
Yep.
Cole, was that yep for having news or just getting to reviews?
Reviews.
You just want to get this shit over with.
Shut up.
Yeah, okay.
Drake Hollow is waiting for me. Let's get it done.
Well, we got a lot of games to get through tonight. First one, Jacob, you're sticking around for a while because you got 3 games to talk about. The first one is Battletoads, developed by Delala Studios, published by Xbox Game Studios and Rare. Released August 20th on Xbox One and PC for $19.99. Available as part of Xbox Game Pass on console and Windows 10. The wait is over. Rash, Zitz, and Pimple are returning at last to smash hit their way through an all-new action-packed adventure of choreographed chaos and couch co-op may never be the same again. Jacob, tell us about Battletoads.
So it's been like, what, 20 years since the last, technically since the last Battletoads game?
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, I mean, and that was even just a port, if I remember correctly. So with this new adventure, we find the guys, you know, oh, yay, we've returned, and everyone treats them as heroes. And then they start beating up people. And then, of course, it leads to their downfall. And so they have to, you know, clear their names and, you know, team up with the Dark Queen and all this other kind of stuff. And it is a weird game. Like, it's honestly weird. I will warn everyone right now, if you are going in there expecting just a beat 'em up, you're going to be disappointed. Think of it as a beat 'em up with mini games strewn throughout, and I think you'll enjoy it better. But
people going in expecting wall to wall beat 'em up are going to be disappointed, I think.
Yeah, because it's just not. And even then, so there's a lot to cover within this game. First, I want to cover the look of it. The backgrounds, I thought, were nicely detailed. They give, like, I mean, they give you a lot of like interesting things to look at while you're doing it. Plus, there's hidden stuff throughout. I mean, that's how you get some of the diamonds or coins or whatever the heck they are. But then the characters themselves look like they're like mid-2000s Newgrounds Flash animation characters. And it's just, I never got over their look. It just...
Really? I like the comparing, look.
I don't mind the look, but I was comparing it to like Powerpuff Girls and mid 2000 to 2010 Cartoon Network art style, and I was just like, a little Johnny Bravo-ish, a little Powerpuff Girls-ish. You can see the influence.
Honestly, I had wondered if Behemoth had taken a crack at it, like the guys who made Castle Crashers. It is Behemoth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I thought at first that, like, somehow they had been involved with it, because the art style reminded me a lot of, you know, their games and stuff.
Yeah, I could see that.
But it's just, I never got used to it. It looks okay, but compared to how the background looks, to how they look, it's jarring, and it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't really work. You know, your mileage may vary, but I thought the art direction was not up to what I would hope it to be for 2020. That being said, the gameplay, I mean, the beat 'em up parts that you have, you know, it's just, they're nothing to write home about. I thought that they were okay. Once you get all the moves nailed down, it makes sense. But at the same time, you know, it's couch co-op, and I get that. You know, you want to gather your buddies and, like, you know, relive like the 90s where, you know, you and your buddies played it on your Super Nintendo and stuff like that, which is fine. But at the same time, it's 2020 and we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like,
yeah, the couch co-op thing just isn't too suitable for right now.
Yeah, it's just like they should have had online play for this.
I'm very disappointed that the game doesn't have online play. I will say that.
Yeah, I honestly don't know why they didn't think that would be, you know, a deal breaker, and thought not, like, you know, oh, well, it's not included. I get, you know, the nostalgia factor, but again, it's 2020. This is something that should have been offered, especially for like a title that's being published by Microsoft.
Agreed.
And then on top of it, you know, the storyline's ho-hum, it's whatever. I kind of felt like it was a little too, I don't know, referential isn't, I don't know how to put it without sounding mean, but it seemed like it was a bit too full of itself. And I get that it was kind of on purpose, but it, like, the jokes flew about as well as they do in Duke Nukem Forever, where it just, like, it felt, you know, it feels too dated. It, like, it tries to be tongue in cheek, and it's just most of it just fell flat for me.
Again, I'm the opposite of you. I really enjoyed the humor. I'm still earlier in the game than you are, I'm sure. But I enjoyed the humor of what I've played so far. I think it's goofy. It's stupid. It's just the right amount of quirky and odd that I got a kick out of it. But I guess that's just one of the things, is the humor is definitely not for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it feels like it feels like an edgy Flash cartoon from Newgrounds. Like, I don't know. I wasn't so impressed with that. Meanwhile, you know, the mini games are actually where I felt like I had the most fun with it. To be honest, like the hover bike areas, I thought that was a blast. You know, was it difficult? Sure. But thankfully, the game's save points within the hover bike areas were fairly generous. So, was it difficult? Yeah. But it wasn't like pull your hair out difficult.
Nah.
Now, on the other hand, a lot of the times you're going to be doing these like little security, you know, these things where you have to deactivate the security or activate some machine and stuff like that. And so you have to do all these little mini games. And thankfully, for one type, oh shit, okay. I'm assuming that the fire company down the road is about to sound their alarm. So one of the styles, if you fail too much, the game is just like, okay, you know, whatever, we'll toss you a bone and it'll auto hack. Now, I don't know if it actually affects the game in any way, like you don't get points or something, or if it just like, all right,
I think it's probably an achievement not to auto hack, but I didn't give a fuck. I auto hacked everything it let me.
I eventually got to that point where I had to start auto hacking. However, the electrical stuff where you have to run the wires through and everything, or like switch the wires so like you can make the current run through, most of those I was fine on, but I'm legitimately stuck on one and I don't know what to do. And I don't know if it's just, I'm playing it too, like I'm playing the game for too long and I'm just not seeing it, but I'm actually stuck at one puzzle. And what drives me up the fucking wall right now is that it's too far in the game that sites like IGN and game FAQs have not published this far ahead into the game. So I can't just like waltz past it and, you know, oh, okay, well that's how I have to flip everything to make it match that. So I'm legitimately stuck in the game and the game doesn't offer you like an auto hack for the electric switches. So if you can't figure it out and, you know, I'm sure like by the time that this airs, somebody will have uploaded a photo of it and stuff like that. But currently I'm boned. So
what a bum.
Yeah, I'm just like I was having kind of fun with it, but I don't know where else to go with it. And you're not helping, or like the internet's not helping, I guess. I don't know, but like I think it's just kind of weird that like, you know, certain puzzles you can just bypass, but other ones it's like, nope, you got to figure this out, and fuck you if you can't. So I don't know. I think it's okay. But I'm honestly afraid that this is going to get, you know, it's going to get forgotten real quick. And it's going to join all of the other, you know, Microsoft published Rare titles like Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts and Perfect Dark Zero and stuff like that. And it's just, it's another game that they published from the Rare IP, and it's just going to get forgotten like 2 months after it came out. Like, that's honestly my fear with this game. And I think, honestly, because they didn't include online play, I think that's going to screw it up, or that's going to hasten that, you know,
no,
forgotten ability of this game, you know?
No. Well, at $20, I need a verdict. What do you think?
I would say try it.
And technically, it's on Game Pass, so you can try it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is a plus for it. But, you know, as for $20 right now, I'm just kind of... I don't know. It's kind of frustrating with that. I just.
A lot of sighing. Got it.
Yeah. Well, the game did generate a lot of sighing.
I think when you get that kind of reaction from a game, it's because you were hoping for it to be better than it was. And you don't want to shit on it because you still had some level of enjoyment out of it, even if it wasn't 100% what you were hoping for.
Right. And it's just...
It makes it harder to give it a rating.
Right. And I think really it's just try it, but also remember it's not a straight beat 'em up.
All right, Cole, your thoughts?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is that it launched with multiplayer, but during a pandemic with couch co-op only. And with co-op achievements. And that was just really fucking dumb. But other than that, I don't have the nostalgia factor for Battletoads. I didn't play the older Battletoads, or if I did, I don't remember them. So I'm not like tied to the game with that kind of like, oh, it had to be this or it had to be that. So as far as a beat 'em up goes, and with the puzzles and the mini games, I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool, and I was okay with it. It wasn't something that resounded with me, and the humor kind of, because it was so referential, it went over my head sometimes. And I was like, eh. And then I just would go beat the shit out of things and keep going. I was surprised at how short it was. But again, it's in Game Pass, so I think it justifies at least to try it.
The other problem with, as you were saying, like, you know, it's $20 and, you know, it's a beat-em-up and stuff like that. The other problem is that there's so many other beat-em-ups that are $20 that were hell of a lot more solid than this. And they have online play. Like, Streets of Rage 4 got released back in, what, April? May? Thereabouts? it's still a fucking blast to play. And that has online, you know, it has online co-op. I don't know. I'm just really frustrated by this title. Like, there should have been a lot more to it. That's just not there.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Samurai Jack Battle Through the Ages, developed by Soleil. I hope I said that right. Soleil. I don't know. Published by Adult Swim Games, released August 21st on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Become Samurai Jack, the greatest warrior across time. Journey through time to finally stop Aku's evil reign in this new adventure told by the creators of Samurai Jack. Jacob, tell us about Battle Through the Ages.
All right. So pretty much, I mean, it's a 3D hack and slash that is modeled after the Samurai Jack series. And one of the thing, honestly, I asked Joe for us to get a review copy because I was just like, oh, sweet. You know, I loved that property back when I was younger. But also, you know, I figured it would just be, you know, it would be a fun hack and slash. And holy crap, it's totally solid. So with this, you know, you get sent back in time and you have to, it's pretty much as the description says, you get sent back in time and you have to go through the motions of everything that, you know, happened in the show and stuff like that. Now with that, the gameplay honestly is tight as hell. Like, everything feels right. It's a hell of a lot of fun to slash through your enemies. Granted, the same enemies keep getting reused over and over again, but whatever, man, who gives a shit? You're just slashing through everyone and it's hell of a lot of fun.
And that's the nature of hack and slash beat 'em ups like that, is enemies. Yeah. You get 50 of the same dude in a battle.
Right. And it's just like, and there are three trees, that you can, you know, gain abilities through, or, you know, gain extra life or whatever through. It's not exactly the most, you know, complex. It's actually not a particularly complex game. Honestly, what you're going for here in this game is the gameplay, which, again, as I said, super solid. And I love the look of this game. Honestly, I was a little afraid that it would look like kind of crap, but they've really stuck to the cinematic nature of the Samurai Jack show, which, you know, if you never watched it, it was Adult Swim's first serious, or not Adult Swim, Cartoon Network. It was their first serious cartoon that they made themselves. And it, you know, it just broke, you know, all sorts of new ground for what they were making at the time. And it was such a mature show. It was just, it was years ahead of its time, really. But anyway, they retain that cinematic nature with the camera in this game. And it just there were very few times where the camera was not, you know, it was not helpful at all. And it looked gorgeous. It played great. I liked the ability, it's not so much the ability, but like, I liked how there was stuff hidden throughout the levels and stuff like that. Now,
yeah, level design was really good in this game. I wish there was a little bit more of a hint as to which way is, quote, the right way, because there were plenty of times where I was exploring something. I'm like, oh my God, this looks like it's the right way. I shouldn't go this way. And I would go down a different way. And that would close me off to where I was before. And I'm a son of a bitch. I should have gone the other way first.
See, for me, I didn't have that much of an issue, but I also kept to the rule, if there's a door lock on it that I have to break, I go explore everything else around in the area before I unlock that door. And so I was finding most of the, what's the dog's name? I forget his name. He's based off of, Mr. Peabody from Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I forget what the heck his name is. But anyway, you know, you would find him like sprinkled throughout the levels, and of course that's tied to achievement. So is the guy who handles all your wares. He's hidden as well. But you know, it's just, you go around and explore and you find stuff. It's, as I said, it's not the most complex game, but holy crap, is it satisfying, and it's a hell of a lot of fun to play. So
that all you got to say on it?
What's up?
That all you got to say on it? Like, no complaints, no gripes, nothing. It's just great, all through and through.
I didn't really have any issues with it. I mean, as I said, there were a couple of times where the camera angle was a little weird, but it wasn't anything too bad. The bosses I found to be challenging. but at the same time, you know, I didn't overly die a lot. I didn't really even have any issues with it. I mean, like, heck, even I bitch about price, you know, I bitch about the price of games all the time.
Yeah, you do. That's your common theme is you're a cheap bastard.
I am a cheap bastard, but, so the game, it's for $40 right now, right?
Yep. $40. So what is your verdict at $40?
I'm about to get to that. Come on. All right. So anyways,
you were just done talking about it. And now I ask for a verdict and you're like, get there.
Well, yeah, because that's part of my verdict. Can jerk
elbow drop you.
Good. I hope you do. That's my kink. Anyway, getting elbow drops of fat, sweaty guys.
While Carnage the Cricket watches.
Carnage the Cricket.
While I got my wiener out. Anyway, so $40. Honestly, like way back in the day before I was married and had kids, I used to be getting a ton of Xbox games day one, and that included like Afro Samurai. This game is everything that Afro Samurai should have been, first off, but it's just like, you know, so I used to be buying all these semi-mediocre games for $60 day one. This thing's $40. I would have been so fucking happy with this. Like, hell yeah. Like, absolutely, it's totally worth $40.
Nice.
So, yeah, this is a highly recommend. Now, granted, compared to Yakuza 2 and its Hostess Club, this is not going to be my game of the year. But, you know, for games that are, you know, $40, yeah, this would be my game of the year.
Yakuza was only 20.
No, it was 30.
Wait, was it 20 or 30? Which one was 30?
I think it's 20.
Shit.
I don't remember, but either way, I mean, like, Yakuza 2, I would gladly pay $60 for. So.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly playing the Hostess Club part more than I'm playing the main game at this point. Help me, Joe.
No. Next game to talk about is called New Super Lucky's Tale, developed and published by Playful Studios, released August 21st on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99, and is available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Join Lucky on his thrilling journey through the Book of Ages, a magical artifact that opens doors to amazing worlds. Meet new friends, explore exciting lands, and recover the missing pages from the evil sorcerer Jinx and his villainous family, the dreaded Kitty Litter. Jacob, tell us about New Super Lucky's Tale.
So, it is a 3D platformer in the same vein of like Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon, and stuff like that. So, if you have fond memories of those old games, this is going to be right up your alley. You know, as the game plot goes, you know, this evil thing steals all these pages out of a book, and you have to recover them and put them back inside the book to do something. I don't know. The game, like, it didn't really make it clear in the beginning. It's just, oh no, it took away all my loved ones and blah, 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 blah. You know, kind of like Spyro. Oh, you have to go recover all the dragons. Yay. And so you have to do that, and you're transported to different worlds where, of course, you have different objectives. And like in one world, you have to stop all these chickens that have grown way too big, and you have to get them back down to normal size through platforming and like destroying some machines and stuff like that. And there's all sorts of challenges and mazes and, like, you know, a lot of it's timing, you know, because there'll be like these like logs with spikes that spin around, and like, of course, you have to dodge them correctly, or like flames shooting out of cannons and stuff. It's, again, it's standard 3D platforming stuff, but the thing is, it's solid and it's fun. You know, my only issue with it is that this is a game that definitely requires some sort of guide to go along with it. You know, kind of like the old, again, Spyro and Crash games. Like, if I had bought this day one, I would have bought the Prima, you know,
guide.
Yeah, to go along with it, because this is just a game, it kind of needs it. Because strewn throughout each level, you know, if you spell if you collect the letters to spell Lucky, you get something, but there's also like a page, there's a hidden page, there's like hidden coins throughout the thing, and there's like one other thing that you have to collect. I forget what it is, but anyway. But then along with it, there's all these like little side games where, you know, Lucky's trapped inside a marble and you have to pick up all these coins correctly. But you have to like turn the maze a certain way. You have to navigate puzzles. Yeah, it's just like, as I said, it's standard 3D platforming stuff, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. you know, as I said, going back, you know, my only issue with it really is that it's just some of the levels seemed like as though you were actually supposed to like take them on later, but the game doesn't actually tell you that. The only way you know it is if is through dialogue that some of the characters say, and it was just like, oh, well, you know, I saw in last level you did blah 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 blah, so you should be able to do this. And it's just like, ah, okay, that's why I died so many damn times in this level, because I wasn't supposed to be here yet. So, you know, it is what it is. I had a ton of fun. It's probably really aimed at kids like 8 or 9 and up, but you know, how much is this game? Is 40, it 60?
$40.
Oh, $40? Oh, well, yeah. Hell yeah.
Cole, what are your thoughts?
I had a great time with it. Unfortunately, the kids didn't get a chance to try it out. I know that number 3 saw me playing it, and she was like, I can't wait to play that this weekend. So that's clearly on her to-do list. but just from watching it, she was very hyped about it. She tends to be a little, what's the word I'm looking for?
Excitable?
Fuck. No, I lost it. She tends not to like jump into 3D platformers. She finds them a little intimidating, which is kind of funny because she played the shit out of Spyro, but when it comes to other ones, like when it came to Yooka-Laylee, she's like, I don't think I can do it. And she didn't want to play it. She thought it was too difficult, but something about Super Lucky's Tale has clicked to her, and she's like, oh, I want to try that one. So I think it's definitely suitable for younger kids, but I think that there's enough there and enough challenge with trying to collect everything that older gamers and can find fun in it as well. I definitely was spending an obscene amount of time trying to knock out some of the challenges. Jacob's bitching about the hidden shit. I thought it was glaringly obvious and not that easy to miss. The only thing that would... Yeah, I was like, okay. But
I'd like to say I wasn't bitching. I'm just saying I would have bought the strategy guide for
He's
it.
He's bitching. Who needs a strategy guide for Super Lucky's Tale?
It's even easier now that they added the 3D camera. Like the original game didn't have the 3D camera. So there was a lot of hidden shit that you just didn't like. There, see. There so were areas in the been, first I level. Even,
I would have done even worse.
Yeah, you would have.
The only thing that I am not a fan of is that there are actual straight up floating invisible coins. Like you can see just a tiny little glint of where they are there.
Yeah.
Given that Xbox puts so much into accessibility, I can't imagine being a player with low sight and having to try to find those coins. That's bad, and I wish you could turn that off.
No.
But other than that, I don't have anything to complain about. I thought it was super solid. I had a good time with it. I spent way too late on a school night staying up playing it.
Same.
And then I had to take a nap the next day.
Nice.
Like the 12-year-old I am. but I had a good time with it. I really did. I think it more than justifies the price, especially that they give you the original game and the DLC as well, since it's delisted.
On the Xbox, it does that. On PlayStation, Xbox, this is a whole new game on PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation, get fucked. go play your Call of Duty upgrade for free, assholes. in the meantime, I think it's a great game, and I think it definitely justifies its price and gives you the entertainment for it.
Well, then at $40, I need a verdict from the both of you.
Buy it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, buy it.
Cool.
And it's on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass, so definitely give it a go. So, a lot of good shit on Game Pass. All right, well, Jacob, I guess we're done with you.
Thank God.
So you can get your ass on out of here. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Nah.
Nothing?
Nah, I don't know. I always like don't think of things to say for this. So yeah, no. Cool. I got nothing.
All right, well then, have yourself a good one.
Bye.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, next game to talk about is called Evergate, developed by Stone Lantern Games, published by P-Cube, released August 18th on the Switch for $19.99. Wield your soul flame, unleash extraordinary powers, and dive into the touching story of two kindred spirits. Add the childlike soul key on a journey through the beautiful and haunting afterlife in this unique 2D puzzle platformer. Cole, I gave you the code. What happened to it?
Mm-hmm. I didn't play it.
Do you want to know why I didn't play
it? Because number one played it.
And number now
I'm going to give her the headphones and the microphone, and she's going to tell you if she should buy it.
Okay.
Let me get out of your way.
Yeah. We're into way.
There you go.
Oh, I'm breaking things.
Please don't break things.
Yeah, don't break things.
Speak up, speak loud. Use your big girl voice.
I don't got a big girl voice.
I love that the mic still picks her up. So we could listen to her coaching you in the background. Talk loud, talk strong, use a big girl voice. All right, so Evergate. Tell us about Evergate.
So Evergate is a 2D puzzle platformer. It gives off a lot of Ori vibes, to at least to me it does. It has that art style to it. It's very pretty.
What else? Tell. What do you do in the game?
So, like I said, puzzles. But, like, how do I say this?
I don't know. What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to think. Okay. So, you go through these memories that apparently aren't yours. Go through them. Go through the challenges. Unlock memories. Be able to figure out what's going on. It's a subtle story.
Subtle story.
A subtle story.
I'm looking at screenshots of the game. This is a pretty, pretty game.
It really is pretty.
So puzzle platforming. Tell us about the character that you play as.
So you play as a little soul named Key. And she, I believe, she goes to the afterlife. And like I said, she's going through these other person's memories. And there's this character that's trying to stop her. And they're like, nope. I'm going to just keep going and I do what I want.
What about the artifacts that you collect? I see a screenshot showing off artifacts. What are those about?
So they can help out with the puzzles. Like one of them you use and like there's ice blocks or leaf or tree leaves that you jump on them. They usually break. But when you have that certain artifact, you can jump on them and they won't break at all, which is really helpful in certain levels. And you can always switch artifacts, but it will always take you back to the beginning of the level, which I kind of don't really like that much.
Well, you got to deal with it.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, now I got to restart this whole thing.
Son of a bee.
I got so far. Yep.
It's on the Switch. Are there any kind of Switch unique features like touchscreen controls or anything like that?
No, there's no touchscreen or anything. Just the usual button trigger. You move around with your Joy-Con.
Someone's phone is going off. Who's that? Is that you?
No, not mine.
Yeah, my bad.
You should yell at her.
She whacked me with her cane.
Oh, man. Okay, so Evergate. Any negatives on this game, or is it just all smooth sailing for this one?
There are a few negatives that I found. Didn't find any glitches, which is really good.
Always a positive. Your mom's good at finding all of the glitches.
But yeah, there was no glitches. But at the beginning, there is a small tutorial, but it's just the basics. Here's this is how you jump. This is how you move. And this is how you use your soul flame. And that's about it. Then once you start getting into the other levels, there are these new mechanics that you have to use, but they don't tell you how to use them. So you sit there like, what am I supposed to do? And it doesn't tell you how to use it. So you have to figure it out.
Did you figure it out?
I figured it out.
I'm proud of you.
Figured it out pretty quickly. But for some people, they'll probably be like, huh?
Oh, boy. So any other negatives? What else?
On Switch, the screen is kind of small. Because some levels are really big, so they zoom in out, and you're... Key is so tiny you can't really see where she's at, but then there's some levels that are kind of also big, but then they're zoomed in and you're like, where am I supposed to go now?
Then they need to find a good balance there.
Yeah,
All right. So, $20 on this one. What do you think about it?
$20 is not... I think it's not worth $20.
What would you put it at?
Maybe around $10, maybe.
Okay, because it is on sale. I see it's on sale for $16.99. I don't know how long that sale is. Is that a bit more enticing at that price, $16.99?
Maybe, yeah. It's probably to some people. Right. I think it's really fun. I like it.
We enjoyed it. It's just maybe a little cheaper.
Yeah.
Wait for a sale.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Do you have any other thoughts on the game?
Nope, I just really like the game. I was over here playing it before I even joined.
You sound like Chris. All right, well, thank you as always for coming on and doing your thing. Any
Take
final
my
words?
Mother's job.
Yeah, pretty much. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, have yourself a good one.
All righty. Take your mic back.
Are you done?
Yeah, don't whack me with your cane.
Okay. You did forget to mention one thing.
I did.
During the review that you mentioned to me individually. And that was that you said that some of the scenes were too large and it made it too hard to see where key was when you were playing on your light.
Yes.
Yeah, she
because
said
it
that.
Was such a small. Oh, did she? Yeah. I didn't hear. I was reading Twitter.
You were reading Twitter.
Chadwick Boseman died.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
apparently,
shit.
He was diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago and just kept working like a motherfucker through it all and then just keeled over.
Oh, shit.
And I was just I was like, what? And yeah, it was a thing. And I was very enthralled and I was just like trying to, I don't know, wrap my head around it. He was only 43.
Damn.
Yeah. I thought it was a joke, a cruel joke. But, cause, yeah, I was like, that's definitely some troll shit. And it was not some troll shit.
Damn.
So
wow. Did you have any thoughts on Evergate?
No, I didn't get to play any of it because she was very, every time I saw her with the Switch, she was playing it. but, and the only time, like, she was showing me how small it was. And that was the one thing that stood out to me with it was just like, holy fuck, I don't know how at times I would even be able to see that if I was playing it handheld or on the light like she was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if you were playing it like docked to the TV, it'd be a whole different story. But if you're trying to play it handheld, it was like, fuck, that's tiny.
And of course, the light doesn't have...
Is it on Xbox?
It's on Xbox. It said it was on Xbox One, Steam, and PlayStation 4.
Oh.
Microsoft Windows.
Well, fuck.
Yeah.
I play it on Xbox.
I didn't know it was on other platforms.
Yeah, she says so. The funny thing about it is that, like, literally the day before Joe offered us the code for it, she was like, there's a new game on the Switch, and it looks like Ori, and I really want it, but it's super pricey. And I was like, how much? And she was like, $17. I was like, fuck that, you haven't earned your allowance yet. And then the very next day, just like, do you want this? And I was like, well, I know somebody who does. So then I was both the bad mom and the good mom within a couple of hours.
Hey, that works out. It is not available on Xbox or PlayStation yet.
Not yet.
No, it is available on Switch right now and will be on Steam later this year and no word on other platforms.
Oh, Steam later this year and no word on other platforms. You lied at me.
Well, technically, I didn't lie at you.
Get my cane. Where's the cane?
Oh, is there going to be a beating?
Not an audible one.
Okay, well, while you beat her, I'm going to read a review because the next game to talk about is called Party Panic, developed and published by Everglow Interactive, released August 21st on Xbox One for $16.99. Party Panic is an online and local multiplayer party game. Compete against your friends in the all-new board game, play 30-plus rapid-fire minigames, race through the brutal gauntlet, or complete the challenges on Trophy Island. There's even built-in drinking game. You'll laugh, you'll cry. It's stupid. Sounds like our show. Ha ha. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. It's Serlina, and this week I'm doing double duty and reviewing Party Panic for the Xbox One. Developed by Everglow Interactive, Party Panic is an online and local multiplayer party game with loads of mini games to suck at, so break out the salt and the extra controllers, and let's get on with the review. I was lucky enough to play this with Joe Cam, and it's always fun to play mini games with him. Luckily, we were able to fill out the game with bots, so it was a full game of four. We played on the board game mode, which is very reminiscent of Mario Party. Essentially, there's X number of turns, and whoever has the most number of trophies at the end of the game wins. As you progress through the board game, there are different tiles you can land on. Blue gives coins, red subtracts coins, purple double subtract. Green tiles are stores where you can buy items, and there are battle tiles as well. You can buy a trophy for 3,000 coins, and you can earn more trophies at the end of the game for random things like person who punched the most gets a trophy. The fun of this game definitely lies in its minigames, so let's move on to the gameplay. Most of the minigames have simple instructions to win, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to execute. The first minigame Joe Cam and I played was the Icy Slopes one, where you all had to do was walk around a path. I kept slipping right off, just barely making a turn and slip into water. I'm sure my rising annoyance was amusing for Joe Cam. The mini games are like that. They play to different strengths and weaknesses, which was cool for me. This denotes that there's a mini game for everyone to potentially be good at. The controls are interesting. They felt loose and tight at the same time, depending on which mini game you played. I will admit getting used to which buttons did the punching and kicking took a minute, but once I got it, I was hi-yaying all over the map. Of course, I didn't tell Joe Cam this because I'm ultra competitive in party games and need every advantage I can get. Graphics-wise, the game is solid. It's very vibrant and colorful, which I appreciate. I also like how the little faces on the goobers change every now and then. I wish I could control the change. That would be awesome. Though most of the characters resemble amorphous blobs, which I find hilarious, it's like the character design was done by a disturbed child. You have your Gumby blob goobers who have the whitest teeth I've ever seen. Like, if a child designed the characters, that child has seen some shit. This isn't necessarily a bad thing because it works in the game. Now on to the best part of the game, the customization. You are able to get loot boxes depending on how well you do in the game, and those loot boxes contain all manners of hats and costumes. You can wear up to 3 of these items at a time, so get creative. Want to see what a bunny would look like as a ninja? How about a superhero turtle? If you've got the right accessories, why not? The only thing I didn't like about the customization is you can't pick which items you want to wear that easily. You have to scroll through the entire list to find which hat you have, which can be annoying. I should point out that there are no in-game microtransactions. You just get loot boxes by winning and progressing in the game. So it's not like there's microtransactions. Party Panic is available on the Xbox One right now for $16.99. And should you buy it, I give the game a solid try. Personally, I think the price point is a bit on the pricey side, but I did have a lot of fun with the game. If you need a party game to play, I'd say go for it, but I'm not sure I would seek it out in any other setting. I can agree with that. I think it's fun. I appreciate that it has online. I don't know if it's going to have a massive community, but if you and your friends all have the game and you want to play together, I think it's going to be a good time. Cole, any thoughts? Or are you?
No,
are
sounds
you,
good.
Are you still
Sorry,
beating the
I,
daughter?
I was abusing my child.
I figured. You should pay attention more.
Yeah, I should, but also I haven't been medicated in almost a month now. I can't pay attention to shit.
Good stuff. All right, well, it's your turn because the next game to talk about is called Road to Guangdong, developed by Just Add Oil, published by Excalibur Games. Released August 28th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $19.99, Switch for $29.99. A family emergency reunites a young art graduate and her elderly aunt for a memorable road trip across 1990s China. Settle into the driving seat for a moving tale of faded memories, family ties, and generational angst. With tough choices at every turn, how will your journey of discovery end? Cole, tell us about this one.
So this is kind of an odd game. it very much deals with generational differences between a family in China, which is a very different culture. And so some of the things that occur in the game, they can feel a little disjointed or odd because it's just not what we experience in American culture. But it's also kind of nice to get that glimpse into how families react in other places, especially somewhere with the kind of strict traditions like China has. So for the purpose of the game, without a spoiler, a major life event has occurred. and you play as Sunny and her aunt, and they have a family heirloom of a vehicle. This car looks like they went to the oldest, dirtiest, rustiest corner of the scrapyard. And like had to dig the tires out of the mud. But it's been sitting in this storage container for a while, and it needs a little life brought back into it, but it's mobile. And it's up to you to manage the money that you have made available to you from doing certain tasks to keep it full of gas. They call it petrol. It drives me nuts. It's like spelling mom with a U. I hate it. the word petrol. So you have to keep full of gas. You have to keep the oil in good health. The car is your primary focus for gameplay, which is both odd and unique and just kind of interesting in general. Like, the car has a health bar. And if the engine is shitting the bed, then you have to pony up for a new engine and find a mechanic who will put it in there for you. But if you do a good job at taking care of all the other tiny bits and parts and not letting it run out of oil, for example, then you don't have to worry about replacing the whole fucking engine if you're careful. I don't know that you could possibly get away without ever having to replace the engine. I haven't done all the storylines yet, so maybe. So far, so good for me. But watch like the very last one and be like, the car's name is Sandy. Watch Sandy just blow the fuck up. I'm going to be standing on the side of the road going, whoop.
Son of a bitch.
Sandy's taking you on a road trip. And that's why it's so important that you keep her health up, because you're not just jaunting around your hometown with your auntie here. You have to go on a road trip to go face to face with your family members and try to convince them to come to a family reunion. So because everything has gone awry following the event, you want your whole family to get to come together. There is a restaurant in play, and the ownership of the restaurant needs to be sleuthed out, and who's going to keep it, who's going to run it in its current state. Are they going to change it? Will those changes be accepted by the family? All that is carried out in a narrative style gameplay mechanic, where like you go into a room where there's people and you choose a dialogue option. It's all very, very minor. But those cutscenes with the family and the dialogue options are interspersed with actually driving Sandy. I've got to be honest, I don't have a driver's license. And short of like arcadey-ass racing games, anything that requires logical driving is not my favorite thing in the world. And I found the driving in Road to Guangdong to be really slow and cumbersome and just a pain in the ass in general. You couldn't get the car up over a certain speed because then it would overheat. And then you'd have to slow down and pull over and check on it and get out of the car. One time I ran it too low on gas, petrol, and I had to get out, get some out of the trunk and put it in a damn tank on the side of the road. And you're like, come the fuck on. You had a flat tire. I had to pull over. I had to change it. Thankfully, I had one in my inventory and I didn't have to call for help.
Call AAA in the game.
Yeah, the Chinese version of AAA. Basically, the mechanic just comes and gets you. You know, but it's kind of, it makes sense within the confines of the game and what they want for you to do. They want you to foster this relationship with this car because it is your tether to your family, even while you're out on the road. But the driving is just, it's slow, it's tedious, it's monotonous, it infuriated me. It took me 4 days of nighttime driving in pitch black to figure out that there was a fucking headlight switch that I couldn't find, because it's just in a row of other switches that don't work. Flat tar, root beer, flat tar. check your oil while you're at it. and your petrol.
You just hate petrol, don't you?
Fucking hate petrol. It's a horrible word. But you have to... There are four buttons that are identical on the dashboard underneath the steering wheel. And you have to, like, while you're driving, look at the one for the headlights and pull it. But none of them are marked. And so when I hit two of them and they didn't work, I was like, well, these aren't nothing. And then I was like, okay. And then I was like, I don't know where the fuck the headlights are. They don't auto come on. I can't see for shit. I'm driving into the guardrail. Thank goodness it doesn't count damage against you, because I'd be fucked. And it just turned around. And it was like, it was just the third switch. No little indicator or anything other than just I clicked it trying to start the car. I clicked it on accident, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Because every time you get in and get out, you have to look at the keys, and you have to start it. Don't, for the love of God, don't change the radio, because your auntie will yell at you every time. She'll either bitch that she doesn't like the new music today, or she was listening to that, turn it back to the oldies. And I'm like, I don't know how to fucking turn it back to the oldies. It took me 4 days of driving in the dark to figure out where the headlights were. Lady, shit. You do it.
Oh my lord.
David got tickled at me because I actually quoted Supernatural when I was playing it, and she bitched about the music, and I said, driver picks the music, shotgun shuts his cake hole. They was like, that's supposed to be your aunt, and I was like, I don't care, she can shut her cake hole.
Oh my lord,
I was so mad. It has a very minimal, almost kind of low poly look to it. It's definitely an aesthetic. It took a little getting used to. Not in such a way that, like, well, I guess it did in a way because it couldn't find that fucking headlight switch. But it doesn't really affect the game in any way. It just kind of lets you focus more on the story because you're not getting shiny object syndrome wanting to look at details that aren't there. I will say there's one plot line that kind of got under my skin a little bit. As a person who has been adopted and found out nearing adulthood that I was adopted, I can always tell when a story is written by somebody who doesn't know how the adoption process works. And there is an adoption subplot, not pertaining to Sunny that you play as, but I don't want to give a spoiler about who. But there is an adoption subplot where one of the characters finds out as an adult that they're adopted. And then, like, they go through that whole, my whole life has been a lie, like, I hate that subplot in every show, game, movie, book that's used it. You can find out you were adopted and not be like, oh my God, who am I? It doesn't work that way. You're like, no, I know who the fuck I am. It just changes what was on my original birth certificate. That's all. That's a personal thing that gets under my skin because that's a personal story that affects me. And I just hate to see when they butcher that, when they're just like, oh my God, who am I? How do I know I'm a part of this family? Like, that's stupid. Your family is not whoever you share blood with all the time. It's whoever's there for you.
Yeah.
And so that gets under my nerves. I don't know if maybe that's, again, just another element of, like, maybe that's a different way that they look at it in China compared to how I've experienced it or whatever. I see that plot line used a lot in English shit too, though. So it's just my own personal pet peeve there. Yeah. Otherwise, I had a good time. Yeah, it's a little slow. It's a little cumbersome. I like the narrative bits far more than the driving bits, but there's other people who are probably enjoying the mechanic shit too. So it's not for everybody, but I'm okay with it.
Well, $20 or $30 on the Switch, what do you say?
I think... Oh, it's 30 on the Switch?
Yeah, Switch tax.
Can I give a separate price? Like, I don't think you should pay 30 for this.
Okay.
20, I'm more okay on the try it side of, But if it's 30, wait until they have one of those wild ass 90% off sales, because it's not a long enough game. I think there's 10 sub stories total that you go through. And it's not a long enough game to justify that kind of price.
But a try it at 20?
Yeah, at 20, I'm cool with a try it. But at 30, wait.
All right. Moving on, the next game to talk about is called Outbreak, the New Nightmare, developed and published by Dead Drop Studios, released August 27th on the PS4 for $12.99. The horrors of the Memorial Hospital were just the beginning of the outbreak. As the infection spread across the city, local law enforcement fell quickly. You now find yourself trapped in a hellscape with only a few remaining survivors. Scavenge the environment for supplies, face off against the undead, and do anything it takes to survive. Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Hello, SML friends and fam, it's Serlina, and this week I'm pulling double duty and also reviewing Outbreak, the New Nightmare for PS4, developed by Dead Drop Studios. Outbreak, the New Nightmare, which I'm just going to call Outbreak for the rest of this review, is a retro survival horror game where you must choose your character and fight through the hordes of undead in several campaigns to escape freedom. Let's get started with the review. When I say this game is retro, I mean it. It pulls every single mechanic from your older horror games. So think Resident Evil and Tomb Raider. You want tank walking? Got that. Inventory management? Oh yeah. Slow-ass reloading? It's in here. Manual aiming with no tracking? Bingo. All that's in here in all of its glory and frustration, and I am so glad that there are options in the game that allow you to toggle the tank walking on and off, because if I had a tank walk for the whole game, would have thrown my PS4 out of a fucking window. Happily, I still have mine intact. Talk about the gameplay now. You use the X button to pick up and examine, the O button or circle button to access your inventory, triangle to look at your map, and square to run. To fire your weapon, it must first be equipped, and you've got to press and hold L1 in order to raise the weapon. Then you can press square or R2 to fire. The controls to do stuff was pretty easy to remember, and the game is responsive, so if you press X, you're doing stuff. Weapons were pretty standard. You have your pistols, shotguns, assault rifles, grenade launchers, and each have their own ammo types. Some ammo types are more plentiful than others. For example, the grenade launcher came with a full clip and 3 extra bullets. You want to be a melee warrior? You can do that with a knife or a fire axe if you can find them. You also have access to healing items. I found painkillers, ointment, syrup, even a first aid kit. You can also combine some of the healing items to make better healing items, so don't be afraid to try that. One thing that I appreciate is if you found an item but you didn't need it right away, the map will highlight what type of item it is, making it easier for you to go back and get it if you need it. Movement was an issue, but not in the way you think. The game is so true to retro survival horror, that means you will hate the camera. It constantly switches orientation on you depending on which angle you're entering or exiting a room. This mechanic is true to the genre, but that doesn't mean it's not annoying to deal with in this day and age. Everything else I managed to adjust to, but that damn camera will forever hold my enmity. I don't mind inventory management. I actually enjoy it because it forces you to figure out what's really important to your survival in the game. The manual aiming is a bit of a pain, but the game is actually really forgiving as long as you're close enough. It wouldn't be a review if I didn't talk about the story, and there is a story here. You're in a nameless city that is beset with undead. The lore is decent in the levels as well as with the characters. Each of the characters have their own origin story as well. There are some questionable syntax errors, but nothing major. You can also choose which character you want to play with, and each of them have their own pros and cons depending on how you want to play. You get XP for your kills to level up your character. Every 5 levels, you can equip a perk onto that character. Some perks require certain level thresholds or certain amount of skill points, so be aware of that. The only thing that bothered me is that you can't assign perks in the middle of a campaign. Outbreak, the New Nightmare is available to try on PS4, and should you buy this game, I have to give it a solid try it. This type of game isn't going to be for everyone. The retro shooter mechanics are definitely a force to be reckoned with, but if you can adjust and get past that, there's a fun game here. This is a game where you will die a lot and backtrack constantly for keys and other items, only to be killed in the last room because you ran out of ammo and have to start over. That's the experience you want. Outbreak will deliver in spades. Oh, you enjoy the Outbreak games, yes?
I do. I missed out on the opportunity to replay it recently just because school shit and time, and I'm really sorry about that. But I have so much respect for the dev because he goes ham. When you give him advice or you give him recommendations, he's like, got it. And he implements that shit, and he really listens to the people who plays his game, and he's really intent on making it a good experience, even if it isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
'Cause those retro style Resident Evil games, when I first started playing them, holy fuck, I was miserable. And I wasn't shy about saying it, but they have come so far, and he's done such a good job at making them better with every one that I appreciate how much time and effort he puts into it.
Yeah, and it's cool to see them making the jump over to PlayStation now.
Yeah. You see so many devs who are like, they release a game, it gets panned, and they just throw their hands up and they go, well, on to the next one. And on one hand, I can respect that, right? Because as long as they learn something from it and move on and do something better. But this guy's like, no, this is my shit. This has my name on it. I'm going to make it good.
Yeah.
Even if it takes a while. And I respect that. I respect he's behind his series.
Agreed. It's a good mindset to have, to just be that confident in what you do, that you want to make sure that you make it as good as you can. And you embrace feedback. That's the most important thing.
He could 100% just the culling, but shit.
Yeah.
And he hasn't, and I appreciate it.
Oh, God. All right. Next game to talk about is called Gleamlight, developed by Deco, published by D3 Publisher, released August 20th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Immerse yourself amid the beautiful stained glass artistries you navigate without the reliance of any standard game UI while tracing the world's mysterious unspoken story. What will you, as Gleam, sense and feel through your travels across this beautiful yet fearsome world of glass? Cole, tell us about it.
So, I would love to tell you more about Gleamlight, but the game doesn't tell you jack shit, all right?
Okay.
They take that Dark Souls Hollow Knight element to it, and they lean into it as hard as humanly possible, to the point that the game tells you nothing. I sat for 10 minutes staring at an intro screen with nothing but a sword in the ground, and there was never so much as an indicator that I needed to push a button to make something happen. So I waited a little while, and then I pressed start, and it gave me a pause menu. And I was like, well, that wasn't it. And then I pressed back, and that wasn't it. And then I pressed A, and then that wasn't it. And so I waited a little while longer because I thought, boy, this is a really slow intro. But it happens sometimes. And then I pressed B, and that wasn't it. And I pressed Y, and that wasn't it. And then I pressed X, and then, boom, I had a character. What the fuck couldn't it just pop up and tell me to push the X button? I understand wanting a minimal HUD, but you could have put a little blue X button there just to let me know.
That is because, like, hey, time to play. Wake up.
You know, just even if you only did it the very first time, fine. But it doesn't do it at all. And I couldn't. I was like, the fuck is going on here? What am I doing wrong? And so because I was streaming it from the console to my computer, because the kids had the TV, I was like, I was double checking, like, am I synced? Am I plugged to the wrong system? What am I doing wrong here? Like, I was just going, what the fuck? Is it not going to let me stream it? Because some games won't let you stream them from console to PC. I don't understand why, but it will shut that shit down. So I was like, well, what is going on? And it was just, no, I needed to press the X button, and the game just didn't want to fucking tell me. And that carries on throughout the entire game. It just has no interest in telling you how to do shit. You're constantly just like fumbling around in the dark. I don't want to admit how long it took me to figure out that when you hit an enemy, you get some little sparkly shit. I'm assuming it's gleamies of some kind. Because gleam light. But you know, they would come to you. And I was like, okay, so this is like currency or something, but there's nothing on the fucking screen to tell you anything. And then I noticed that if I got hit, I lost some of the little gleamies and I got darker. And if I got hit too many times, my character would almost kind of shadow out. And then if I got hit after that point, I was just dead. And then you go back to just having the sword in the ground that you got to hit X on, and it doesn't tell you to do that. So, you know, I sat there for a while again, but not too long, because then I at least figured out to press X. When in doubt, exit out.
Yeah. Try all the buttons, not just A next time.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, how common is it that to start a game, you press X?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you traditionally think of, right?
Yeah.
But that's what you did. And so once you die, you're just a sword in the ground, and you can press X and you get to come back again. The influence from Hollow Knight is everywhere in this game. But it was like they looked at Hollow Knight and went, that's not hard enough, right? And at that point, you just go, fuck off.
Oh, man.
You don't need to be that difficult. There's no difficulty settings. You don't have any options for any kind of accessibility settings. There's none of that. There's no dialogue. Everything about the game, except for its flat-out visual appearance, is Hollow Knight 2.0. Except even the visual appearance, like the level design, I swear I've seen some of those levels in Hollow Knight. Except that it's got, like, instead of being like a painterly bug in a forest kind of look, it's a stained glass forest. Which, don't get me wrong, visually is really striking. It's pretty, but I don't know if it changes the game enough to be like, why didn't you just go play Hollow Knight? Then to add insult to injury, if you actually want to complete the game, you need to do 2 playthroughs. I'm going to be honest, I was terrible. I didn't make it this far. I found somebody else talking about this because I was like, I would never have found this on my own. But they took the Nier Automata approach, because I would, if I had been lucky enough to get through one, I don't think I would have suffered through a second playthrough. But if you want to complete it, you need to. But that also means you have to manually delete your save to do the second playthrough. They make you give up your whole progress.
Ouch.
And I hate everything about that. I didn't even make it to it, and I hate it, and I'm mad about it. Like, why do you want to put the effort in if you know that you immediately have to give it all up to finish the game?
No.
It just feels like a waste, and it feels like an insult to your time. Especially when a game is this difficult and this unforgiving. Because remember how I said you lose the gleamies when you get hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The enemies lose gleamies when you hit them. But if you get hit and lose your gleamies, the enemies get them back. So not only do you lose health, the enemies get more health.
Oh.
There were literally points where I was in boss battles where I would hit them, they would immediately hit me back, and it was just a stalemate for 30 minutes straight until wow. I just finally got so annoyed with it that I was like, my hands are fatigued and I can't do it. It's
wow.
I want to like it. Like, even if I were mean enough to be like, this is a Hollow Knight clone completely, then I would be like, I still want to play it because fuck, Hollow Knight was good. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of people who, you know, would be more than happy to play a game that's similar enough to Hollow Knight but different, that you know, they feel like they're playing something else. But it's so unbelievably, unforgivingly difficult that it's insulting. And it just takes, for me, it zaps the fun out of it. And I felt like it didn't matter how far I progressed because I'd already found out about having to delete it at the end. And I was like, I don't even know why I want to put the time and effort into it now.
No.
Well,
overall, $20. What do you think?
I'm going to go with a really, really hesitant try it. This is definitely a niche that you have to know you want to partake and give your money and time to. And I'm just not that person. If it were for me personally, I would have skipped it. If I had known pre-review what I know now, I would have just skipped it.
No.
But I think there are still people out there who are hearing me going, well, wimp! And would be more than happy to put the time and commitment into it, insult and all, and would love it. And that's fine. That's you. You know, tread lightly. But for me and anybody else like me, just play Hollow Knight.
No.
You know.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, Rootbeer says, and Hollow Knight is only $15.
Yeah, so, true.
And it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass.
So, oh, I mean, you know, and it's a shame because the stained glass aesthetic, it's really pretty. It really is. They did a great job with that. It's
like how it took your breath away right there. The stained glass is so pretty.
Just thinking about it, it is. It's pretty. And it's so cool because like there's areas where like there's these stained glass vines hanging off of these stained glass platforms. And if you swipe at them with your sword and then they just fall and then they shatter, it's really pretty and it's really cool. But then just everything else just drains the life out of it.
Bam. I like how I thought you were done talking about it, so I added Dark Mika to the call, and then you kept talking about it.
It's all good. I'm able to just be quiet. It's fine. You keep going. You do your thing. It's all good.
Aki, how are you doing?
I'm okay-ish. I heard the guy who played Black Panther died today.
Yeah.
Earlier, and that sucks. But other than that, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, we found out. Cole, you told me. I found out when you told me.
Yeah, I said it, I don't know, what, 20 couple minutes
games
or so ago?
Yeah, a couple of games ago. Breaking news on the show, that was...
Yeah, because you were, like, chastising me for reading Twitter while everyone was doing a review, but
there was a good reason. You had a reason.
Yeah.
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 All right, well, Aki, you're here for a reason, too. You got two games to talk about. Are you ready for these?
Sure, I don't remember what they are, but once you tell me their names, I will.
There's no way this could go wrong.
I can't wait to find out she didn't play them.
Oh no, I definitely played them because I know I 100. I think I.
Uh oh.
One of them was the one I 100%ed, right? Whatever that was.
Guess we'll find out. Next game to talk about is called Manifold Garden, developed and published by William Chair Studio. Released August 18th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $19.99. Deluxe Edition is available on PS4 for $29.99 and includes the soundtrack and a dynamic theme. Rediscover gravity and explore a beautiful Escher-esque world of impossible architecture. Aki, tell us about Manifold Garden.
Okay, this is a really trippy but interesting puzzle game. Basically, the world has lots of colored blocks, and there's also this black mass that's covering all sorts of different stuff. And you move the black the boxes into little square holes, more or less, and things happen, whether it's, you know, they open a door or they cause something to slide across the room or they make it start raining or whatever. So you can move forward in the level. The levels are infinite. So each level, I guess I should say, is infinite. There's not an infinite amount of levels. So if you walk in one direction, you'll just forever go in that direction. Because when you get so far, you're at the back instead. So it's just a constant looping area. Hmm. And it's the same if you jump off of something. You just forever keep falling and you can just move across the entire field to get to another place. Obviously, no fall damage, so yay. or else none of these puzzles would, well, at least not how I did them, none of them would work anyways, because I have a habit of just jumping off shit. I mean, hey, it's a very good way to solve the problems.
Can't argue there.
If you can't solve it through just normal means, jump off a building. It might work. I'm just saying. But it does slowly but surely get very difficult. I got a little past halfway through the levels in this game. And then at the very end of one level, I just got to one area and I can't figure out where I'm supposed to bring this yellow box to place it. If I could, the level would be finished and I'd be moving on to the next one. I probably wouldn't have as much trouble. That makes me sad. But sometimes when you place these blocks, when I said it starts raining, that's because it opens a new box that's black. And you have to move it to another tree. And then suddenly, poof, it lights up. And then, you know, new levels are actually made right in front of you. And it's really cool because you see like buildings and floors and shit just poofing into existence, coming in, swirling around and landing, being like, hey, now I'm a floor. And then these weird, they're supposed to be birds, but they're geometric shapes, start fluttering around. And every new area is based on a specific color. I think the first one was blue. The second one was red. Third one was yellow. And I think the fourth one's green. There's probably some more after that. But again, I got stuck. So there's no story to speak of. You're just solving puzzles. Honestly, I don't know if this black stuff is supposed to be bad or not. Because you're just solving puzzles. There's literally no story. There's no conversations. There's no text. There's no nothing. You just figure out how to play and play. As you go through the puzzles, at first it's just literally pick up the blocks, place it where it's supposed to go. That's it. Later on, you get ones that they can only go in one direction. Like when you drop them, they land down. However, in this game, you can change where gravity is. So some blocks, the down arrow, if you're facing the floor, would be towards the right wall. And you have to be on that wall to lift it. But when you drop it, it lands straight to the right. It's so weird. It really destroys any concept of perspective. and it's really fucking trippy for that reason. And later on, you can, like, there's water that flows and you can move them around based on symbols on the boxes. You can change all the boxes' colors later on. Some of the boxes switch from one side of the room to the other. So they'll have an arrow pointing up and an arrow pointing down, which means they can go either direction. So let's say you go to the ceiling. Well, it'll land on the ceiling, but if you go to the floor, it'll land on the floor, whereas most of the other ones only have one arrow and would only go one direction, which makes the puzzles harder, too. It's really fun. It's kind of hard, but it's really fun.
Well, at $20, what do you think of it?
I think it's worth it. You're probably going to get 10, maybe 15 hours out of this, would be my guess. So, yeah, I think it's really worth it. It's real fun.
Awesome. Sounds good. Final game to talk about tonight is called There Is No Game, Wrong Dimension, developed and published by Draw Me a Pixel, released August 6th on Steam for $12.99. There is no game, so don't go messing things up by clicking everywhere. You don't want to be kicked out of your video game world, do you? Of course not. Aki, did you get kicked out?
Kinda, sorta, a little bit, maybe?
You fucked everything up, didn't you?
Hey, it's fun.
So what is this thing? It's not a game, so there is no game. So what is it?
It's a lot of things that are all very similar to a game, namely games. Basically, it's a point and click game that is all over the place. Its story is very similar along the lines of things like the Stanley Parable and other such games that are just a little weird and don't make a whole fuck ton of sense. That's the entire point of the game. Basically, you're a user trying to play this game that you got from who fucking knows where. And the game is like, this isn't a game, and is trying to do everything they can to make you fuck the hell off because the program doesn't want you playing the game. And basically, you're just trying to play the game and you're wrecking everything the fucking program does until a glitch shows up called Mr. Glitch, and he is a bitch, and it all rhymes, and it's fantastic. And he starts sending you to, yep, that's damn near the beginning, and that's the middle. he sends you through other video games, and you're just end up trying to find your way back to the original game with the program, because you and the program just keep teleporting to all these different areas, and each area plays slightly differently. In the first area, you have the sign, which you showed a picture of, and it ends up turning into a breakup block game until you knock all the letters off of the sign, and then later on you're transported to a Sherlock Holmes game, like a really old variant of it, and it's on an old CRTV, and you can flip the TV around and take off the back and see the back of the game. So like all the buildings, you can see that obviously they're fake because, again, it's a game. But you can see what would be behind the buildings, which is like all the buildings are just held up by pieces of like 2x4s and shit, like what you'd expect on like a TV set. And you solve the puzzles in there to try and get out, which is helping Sherlock Holmes and what the fuck is the other dude's name? Oh my god, how do I not remember his name?
Because I love
Sherlock Holmes. This hurts my fucking soul. I want to say Wilson, but I don't
Watson?
Think
Watson.
Watson, yes.
Proud of you.
I know, right? It's bad. I've watched literally almost every goddamn show based on Sherlock. I've played almost every game based on Sherlock. I have most of the old fucking books. I even have books on tape. I'm ashamed of myself.
So I want to go over some of the features that this game has on its Steam page because it's fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. It says it's a point-and-click comedy adventure. You can go ahead and put your controller back up on the shelf. Incredible 3D graphics that are flat, completely flat, and very pixelated. Almost this fully voiced, may contain traces of foreign accents here and there.
Yep.
Solves riddles that require you to think outside the box.
Very much so.
Hint system included because you can't think outside the box.
There is. I used it once specifically to see if there was an achievement tied to it. There is not. It is set on a timer, but that timer is like 10 seconds.
Oh, God.
And when you click it, everything that you can actually get a hint about on that screen will be shown up, and you can get a hint on specific things so you can figure out how to solve it.
Nice.
It's really interesting. Yeah.
So shorter than an MMORPG, which leaves you plenty of time to finish some real good games.
This is true. It took like, God, I think it took me like 8 hours total. And I replayed some of it just
pretty good.
Because I could. Yeah.
Discover the top 10 best walls. The fourth one will surprise you.
Yeah.
Motion sickness free, which is pretty remarkable for a non-VR experience.
This is true. I did not experience any motion sickness. This game is great for that.
And contains tons of bugs, but it's supposed to be like that.
True, Mr. Glitch.
I love when people have fun with their write-ups on Steam.
Yeah, and everything on there is true. Every bit of it.
So this non-game is $12.99. What are you thinking of it?
I love this game. I think it's totally worth it. This is a fantastic little game. It will amuse the shit out of you. As long awesome. As you like the Stanley Parable and stuff. If you don't, well, then you probably suck anyway, so who cares about your opinion?
Nice. All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Cole, are you excited? Or are you, like, already playing Drake Hollow? You're
totally playing.
You're playing Drake Hollow, aren't you?
No.
Bullshit. Such bullshit.
We didn't even finish this. Are you that impatient?
I did my best!
Well, I mean, in her defense, I've been playing one of my review games for next week too, most of this show.
Yeah, but you weren't on the show.
Well, I mean,
did my best.
I'm not going to tell you that I didn't flip over to my TV and play it while I was talking either. So, I mean, totally wouldn't do that. I'd never. Never.
Cole's sitting here. She's like, Aki's joining. Fuck yeah, Drake Hollow time.
Yeah, probably.
I have to say nothing now.
Shit.
I'm just here for posterity or some shit.
Oh, okay. Lord. All right. Well, again, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Thanks, Jacob, for being here. Hanging out with us, I guess.
Aki, him.
Well, I have to. He was here.
You don't have to.
He did shit. It's I have to be nice. I have to be a good host.
You gave him a That's video gross. Game. That's nice enough.
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Drake Hollow is out now.